Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
You know, we hear a lot of wonderful feedback from you listeners, and sadly, we don't always have the time to call the robot up to the desk and actually go through any of it, in part because we're increasingly busy with the Stuff to Blow Your Mind thing, in part because of ice storms crippling the city and, and what have you. But so once again, we wanted to take an opportunity to devote one episode to just conversing with you, the listeners, you, the readers, etc., and sharing some of your thoughts on topics that we've recently touched on.
Yeah, so it's about high time that we got our house in order, and we have a bevy of feedback that we want to read because we think it's really interesting. And what should we kick it off with? We have a couple of themes.
Oh, well, I really like this one on reincarnation. So let's call the robot over, and I'll read you what John had to say. John says, I listened with interest to your recent thoughts on reincarnation, and I was struck with the thought that the ideal example of reincarnation with persisting memories of a past life would be the Dalai Lama. I think, maybe to be corrected, that when a Lama dies, the search for the child who contains the spirit of the leader begins, and there are tests to prove that they have found the correct youth. I think these include tests to check for signs of a reincarnated spirit. Does anyone know of this? And I'll take a break and say, yes, this is actually the Dalai Lama situation is a really excellent example of reincarnation worldview in effect. And to the point where we really should have mentioned it in the podcast because it's so strong. Anyway, John continues, I don't know where I read this. I also enjoyed your recent podcast about Stonehenge, as I have visited this and other monuments in England, as that is where I live. I prefer Avebury Circle, as it is large in diameter, if not in size of stones, and the different rings and ditches that even encompass the village, and their position in relation to other barrows and earthworks locally give a much more impressive vision than of those who devised and built these monuments. At Avebury, you can get amongst the stones and walk the ditches, allowing a more connected feeling with the whole area. These monuments need to be seen topographically to really impress with the relation to the land and what else it contains. Simply looking at a picture only gives you a very small part of what they are. Thanks for keeping my truck driving night full of interesting thoughts. Look forward to future shows. John.
All right. Well, so that first part about the Dalai Lama, I do remember seeing a film in which I believe Keanu Reeves starred. Do you know which one I'm
the
talking
Matrix?
About? No. The Matrix Dalai Lama.
I
no.
don't remember.
It documented the search for the Lama, and they were giving him some of the tests. Do you recall any tests that are administered?
I do not. I remember seeing the documentaries, or one documentary in particular about looking for the Lama, looking for the chosen youth that would have the spirit of the Lama. But I don't recall the details of it offhand.
And in terms of the Stonehenge information that John had given us, which was really great, I wanted to read an email from Diane who says, I love the Stonehenge episodes because they reminded me of a project I did when I was in fourth grade. I had a great teacher who did a Stonehenge project where we created stones out of modeling clay and then had to transport them one by one across the table by rolling them on pencils. Once the stone was off the last pencil, it was moved to the front and repeat across the table. It was time-consuming but fun and was a cool project to show what sort of work went into cutting and transporting the stones. Stuck with me for 20 years. What a great project for kids
to do,
I think. She says she's been a longtime fan, and she's been meaning to write and suggest a future show. And she said that she became involved with a nonprofit called the Cancer Research Institute. She said that cancer immunotherapy is a cool field of research and treatment for cancer that uses the immune system to fight cancer and has really started to take off in the last couple of years. So she suggested that as an episode, and that seems like great fertile terrain for us. And I appreciate your suggestion there, Diane.
Yeah, we could stand to do a few more sort of health-centric episodes in the future. Space is another area I want to get back to. So if anyone out there has specific requests for space-related stuff to blow your mind content, do hit us up with those suggestions. Because sometimes it's kind of difficult looking at space or looking at health, because I feel like with stuff to blow your mind, we kind of have that that caveat that it needs to really like shake you. It needs to really awe you in some way, shape, or form. But
so if you have any ideas that might lead to a sober stoner moment that
yes,
you have to do
exactly.
with space, let us know.
All right, here's another bit of listener mail. Thank you, Robot. This one comes to us from Tracy. Tracy says, I absolutely love your podcast. I love your topics, but almost more than that, I love your chemistry. You play off each other really well, and your interaction never slides into corny banter. I love your inventive metaphors. The intensive research you do is evident from your solid grasp of the information you present. You rarely stumble in your knowledge, and to top it all off, both have voices made for radio with no annoying vocal tics. You post nothing but fascinating articles on your Facebook page. You kick butt. I just wanted you to know you have a huge fan in Miami. If you ever find yourself in South Florida, I hope Miami's Vice City Rollers, the roller derby team I volunteer with, is playing. I'll give you comp tickets. Well, thank you, Tracy. Indeed, if we're ever in South Florida, we may have to look you up.
Indeed, we will. And that just reminded me of the roller derby microbiome episode
we did,
in which they looked at roller derby teams and how they are swapping microbiomes and how interesting that is. And Tracy, that is really kind. I do have to say, though, I think that both of us have a couple of malapropisms in which we butcher language. And that is an episode which will be forthcoming at some point because it's really interesting about how your brain that listens and your brain that is anticipating speech, they have to work in tandem. And a lot of these malapropisms result from that sort of little disconnects that happen when they're trying to do this bifurcated action.
Yeah, and I think I've said before, I feel like I very much have a writer-reader brain, and therefore when I'm speaking, I often fall into various traps. I guess I've gotten better at it over the years, but still, not all the traps have been marked and illuminated.
All right, the next one comes from Richard, and he says, I love Stuff to Blow Your Mind. I listen while working out at the gym, and as a high school science teacher, I enjoy bringing the program into my classroom. Good job, and thank you. I fear you may be incorrect on hibernation. I believe there's a republished episode in January that he's referring to. He says, let me do this in two parts. Your recent discussion of hibernation violates a basic principle of physics and engineering, the law of squares and cubes, less formally the relationship of surface area to volume. This universal principle deserves a separate treatment on your program, and to make it less technical and more podcast-friendly, I bring to your attention that virtually all monster movies get it wrong. For a summary of why, read the great biologist J.B.S. Haldane's essay on being being the right size. The law of squares and cubes can explain numerous physical and biological phenomena. This brings us to point two. While it is true that ground squirrels can reduce their core temperature sufficiently to go into a state of suspended animation, larger animals like bears may lower their set point slightly but cannot radiate enough body heat to get a truly suspended state. They're easily aroused even during winter rest, although I do not suggest you try the experiment for rather obvious reasons. By the way, you can extend this analysis to demonstrate that large dinosaurs probably approached warm-bloodedness even without internal constancy. If you want a good summary on the issue and its specific relation to hibernation, there's a helpful lecture by Stephen Stearns from his Yale course on evolution and ecology. So I just want to say thank you, Richard, so much. I do think that that probably deserves its own upcoming episode because we'd like to get into this topic a lot. Hibernation, mm-hmm. suspended animation, what we can learn from hibernation, how we could apply it to humans, either through emergency situations or even through space travel.
Now, I know that we have discussed the morphological limits of gigantism before, particularly in terms of say, Godzilla and King Kong.
But and Barbie.
And Barbie, yes. That was a separate episode. But we have touched on those topics before. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more listener mail on a number of fascinating topics.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's take some more feedback and get into it.
All right, this one comes to us from Valerie. Valerie says, I just finished up your episode on night janitors. It made me feel much less lame for needing 9 hours of sleep to feel good now. I have always fallen asleep anywhere if I am tired, in loud rooms, standing up in a boat, and other odd places. Whenever I do anything that would loosen my inhibitions, like drink, all I want to do is take a nap. Turns out most of my inhibitions are how inappropriate it is to sleep all the time. From now on, I am going to imagine I have very demanding night janitors, and we are waiting at the doors, being like, can you hurry up in there? We have a job to do. Ready to take advantage of my weakened state to start work early. Also, I was wondering if there is anything to this idea of animals getting a taste for humans. I feel like I hear that all the time. I wonder if it is like when I finally have a chance to try something and it's especially tasty, like when I got a taste for starfruit. I also think about one group of orcas that was on a documentary I watched that were really into sea urchins, even though they are much harder to eat and harder to get than other food. Could we be a delicacy of the animal world? Thought it might be interesting to hear a podcast on animals becoming man-eaters after getting that first taste. Warm regards, Valerie in Austin, Texas. P.S. You guys are great. Well, I want to do an episode on man-eaters. That sounds perfect.
Well, you know, I thought this is so timely because the other night my daughter asked, she gets to ask one question before she goes to bed, and that's her way to, she's always trying to distract us from actually getting her to sleep. So that's the way that we try to manage that. And so her question was, do alligators eat people? And so my answer was, because I try to be as honest as possible without, right, like, going into some weird territory. And I said, well, no, they don't, but I'm sure it has happened by accident. And then that was totally, I shouldn't have even said that, because then she was like, when? Who? What happened? And I thought, oh, man, it's true. It has happened by accident, and sometimes people have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And she went on to ask, like, do you think that alligators like the taste of humans?
Huh. Well, there you go. I think we'll definitely have to do an episode on that.
And I also have to say that we were dangerously close to talking about cannibalism. I just felt it. I felt like, God, the next question is going to be, do humans eat other humans?
So she waits till you're just completely low on energy, mm-hmm, right at bedtime. That's when she starts throwing out questions about cannibalism. And
oh, yeah. Why do people kill each other? Why do people die? I mean, she throws out the heavy stuff.
Oh, man.
We have another email here from Kevin, and he's talking about the night janitors, which is, again, this episode that dealt with this idea of all these toxic byproducts that our brains make, and how do we usher them out of our system? That has long been a mystery, but we have new information that this happens when we sleep and only when we sleep. Kevin says, I have an interesting study I conducted last semester on my own. I was 19 at the time. I read about polyphasic sleeping, where you can reduce average sleep to minimal hours, sometimes two a day. I tried it and reduced my average from about 8 hours to 5 hours for 30 consecutive days. I would do 3.5 hours at night and 3 equally spaced naps during the day. During this time, I had lucid dreams for the first time, which I still seldom have to this day, and had felt a new feeling of euphoria midway through. I found it was very well possible, but I stopped when my neighbor, who participated in 12 actual sleep studies, said I was adapting to become an insomniac. This leads me to question whether we can adapt to a large amount of waste in our brains, or does maybe the night janitor become more efficient? Good question. Also, thank you for your exciting and informational discussions. They have changed my intellectual life for the better. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Well, here's another little bit on sleep. This one comes to us from Anne. Anne says, Dear Julian Robert, during college, I had a lot of trouble with insomnia. I was prescribed Ambien my senior year. I made the mistake multiple times of taking it, but not immediately lying down and going to bed, which is recommended. This led to some interesting internet comments. The biggest problem I had was sleep cooking. I didn't just sleep, eat whatever snacks were in my apartment. I somehow felt the need to make ramen noodles or SpaghettiOs, or on one scary occasion, to cook a full meal of pasta. I boiled a pot of water, cooked the noodles, cooked the sauce, drained the pasta, poured the pasta and sauce onto a plate, covered them with Parmesan cheese, ate the whole plate of food, and then left the empty plate on the floor by my bed. I woke up next morning boggled by the plate. I am relieved to say I never left the stove on. I quit taking Ambien and several years later quit drinking entirely. Sobriety has had a huge impact on my sleep quality and worked much better than Ambien for me. I learned that while alcohol can make you fall asleep, pass out, the sleep you get isn't restful or restorative sleep. It reduces REM sleep, but people often think they're sleeping better because they fall asleep sooner. All my best, Anne.
Thanks, Anne. Yeah, I have to second that. Since I quit drinking a year and a half, nearing 2 years ago, I will say that my sleep has been so much better. And now I'm hungry for a plate of spaghetti.
Yeah, it's we've mentioned Ambien before, and it's the effects it sometimes has on people. I do want to go ahead and throw out though that if you know let your doctor, your trusted doctor, advise you on what you should and shouldn't take, and use that as your sort of call point rather than you know any kind of horror stories you've heard about one medication or another.
Well, yeah, because some things can affect another person in an entirely different way. So.
Yeah, because I've encountered people before who desperately needed some help sleeping, at least for like a small portion of their time, and they were scared to even try something because they'd heard somebody knew somebody who'd heard about somebody who you know ate a bunch of cigarettes while on Ambien or something.
Yeah, well, and if you've ever suffered from insomnia and you know that point in the night where you're like, man, I wish someone would just hit me over the head with a pan and knock me out, you know that that's when you're in a desperate place and you need some help.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for sharing that with us, Anne.
All right, the next one has to do with leeches. We recently did a podcast episode about leeches and how they've sort of redeemed themselves in the medical community. And this is from Ashley. She says, I recently listened to the podcast about leeches. I thought you might be interested in my experience with them. I'm a veterinary technician at a large specialty veterinary practice, and we currently have a small colony of leeches that are being used to treat a couple of feline patients. These two kitties have a condition called polycythemia vera, in which their bodies make too many red blood cells. This results in very thick, sludgy blood that can lead to seizures, ataxia, blindness, and other neurological symptoms. There are medications that decrease red blood cell production, but the side effects aren't good. One other treatment is bloodletting every week, but one of these cats is not very friendly, which makes drawing a large amount of blood from her very difficult and stressful for her, and I imagine others. There's only one study and one cat that leeches have been used on for this condition, but our doctors decided to give it a try. The cat can sit in the owner's lap and have the leeches feed for about 30 minutes and go home. Both cats have had multiple treatments and are doing very well, so it looks like our leech experiment is a success. Thank you for reading, Ashley. P.S. We keep our leeches and fish bowls on a shelf. We learned the hard way that the bowls need to be covered. More than once, leeches rain down on the person using the computer below the shelf they were housed on. That's a little bit nightmaric.
Yeah.
Just to create a new word.
All right. I'm just going to wind up here with two quick ones. This one comes to us from Annie in New Orleans. Annie shares her experiences with dentist dread and dental anxiety, which we talked about in an episode. But then she closes out and says, I listen to a lot of How Stuff Works podcasts, and I love them all for different reasons. But I've almost started thinking of yours as my mental health cast. I developed some slightly debilitating anxiety and depression problems this last year. For example, my fractured teeth were very likely caused by clenching my teeth in my sleep. After my crowns are in, my dentist is going to make a mouth guard to sleep with. Because of your many informative episodes surrounding anxiety, I've decided to seek out professional help in addition to trying things like meditation to quiet the constant screeching of my default mode network. I'm feeling more hopeful for my future happiness than I have in as long as I can remember. You guys are great. Well, that's very good to hear. First, I want to say mouth guard. I myself wear a mouth guard when I sleep every night, and it's made a lot of difference for me. So definitely stick with that as much as you'll want to spit it out at times. And kudos for seeking you know professional help to help balance things out. I think that's you know that's often the bravest and at times the hardest thing you have to do for yourself is saying yes, I'm going to actually see somebody about this.
Indeed, and you know I've said this several times, but the episodes that we've covered, the topics, a lot of times I find myself turning to some of the things that do help. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting that she brought up the default mode network, because I really think that is sometimes the problem with a lot of what ails me is just kind of quiet that part of the mind. And there's so many different ways to get to that point.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Here's the last one here. This one comes to us from Ashley. Ashley says, hi, Robert and Julie. I'm listening to some of your older podcasts via iTunes and came across Lucid Dreams. During the cast, you mentioned some senses not being activated during dreams and that food isn't usually a part of lucid dreams because the taste isn't active. Well, I had a very unusual dream a while back where I was an intergalactic social mixer. I had a conversation at the bar with a green jello-ish male and drank the most perfect glass of pineapple juice. I've also had a recurring dream where I am at a family reunion type gathering with my children. At some point, I fall out of favor with my family, and they want to have me committed and take out custody on my children. At this point, I take flight like a bird, not Superman. Think of the Wii Fit Chicken game where you flap your arms to fly. I've been having this dream on and off since 2002 prior to Wii Fit, so I don't know why or where this dream came from. Okay, well, that's it. Thanks for keeping me company while I work, study, and take mom breaks. I put myself in a timeout. Love you much, Ashley.
Oh, thank you very much, Ashley. I really would like to have a lucid dream about food now.
Yes, I as well, because I don't think I can remember an instance where I had like a very taste-centric dream.
Yeah, and just to be able to experience that in a lucid way might mm-hmm. be pretty amazing. I don't know. I'm going to put maybe like some sort of sprig of basil in my mouth before I go to sleep.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
that'll
give that a
trip
try.
It.
Or, yeah, or have someone else like stick basil into your mouth while you're asleep to trigger it.
That would be perfectly normal.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. We've managed to catch up a little bit on our listener mail. You guys and gals are always sharing such wonderful thoughts with us about the topics that we cover. You have wonderful suggestions for future episodes. And we just wanted to, again, take time once more to just go through some of these listener mail, catch up, and then start fresh with some new episodes the next week.
Indeed.
All right, so you want to get in touch with us? You want to get in on this? Well, you can find us in a number of places. StuffToBlowYourMind.com is our main homepage, and that's where you'll find blog posts, videos, all the podcasts, links out to our various social media accounts. Now, our Facebook page, if you just look on Facebook for Stuff to Blow Your Mind, that's where we are. We have a pretty strong following there, and a lot of people get in touch with us via Facebook, and we do read those messages, so bear that in mind. And then there's always an old-fashioned way you can get in touch with us as well.
But before I tell you about that old-fashioned way, I want to talk about YouTube, in particular Mind Stuff Show. If you go there, you will find videos that Robert and I have toiled away on. In fact, I probably have the most jacked up Marilyn Monroe wig that has ever existed in one of those videos. And you can check that out at Mind Stuff Show at YouTube. In the meantime, you can send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.